at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Art. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now the host of the show, Rich Orris.
I can't answer any questions whatsoever about your house. You want your car fixed? I'm really good at that. So, we've got some fine folks in from Mosby Building Arts. Jake Spurgeon, Senior Design Consultant, joins us here on the program. Jake, thanks for coming down and hanging out on a Saturday.
No, I appreciate it, Greg.
We're going to have some fun today talking a little about keeping your house up. Not only that, what I want to get into really is, you know, hey, most people are going to be starting spending more time inside, maybe looking around the house going, you know, we could probably update a few things around here. Maybe time to start looking at maybe, I don't know, the kitchen. Going to be doing a lot of entertaining with the holidays coming up. Also bathrooms, that seems to be always a hot topic.
Yeah, these are spaces that get heavily used in your house and are really could always use a facelift. If you look around and see some things that are dated or not working, it's a great time to address them.
I would think so. You're going to be inside most of the time, going to be looking around, seeing what's going on, and really taking into account, like, hey, wow, you know, I still have these gold appliances sitting in my house. For me, that's perfect, but my wife, that's not going to work for me.
Yeah. And finishes for, finishes are always it's a personal choice, but, you know, that's one of the reasons that I love what I do is I get to help clients kind of walk through what's available and make their space truly theirs. That's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. We're going to get into all that a little bit later, but we invite you to join us. Here's the phone numbers you want to get on. We got plenty of time for your phone calls, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Those are the phone numbers you want to get on. We're going to take your phone calls all the way up till 1 o'clock today. We're going to have a lot of fun. You got questions? Well, I don't have answers. Jake has answers for you. He's going to help you out today. But, Jake, I want to talk a little about, obviously, beautiful day outside today.
Gorgeous.
You know, it's not it is a little warm, but it's not too warm, not like it's been. This is probably a good time to get out, start walking around your house, looking around, seeing if there's any damage from that, you know, that massive heat and summer sun and stuff like that. Maybe going into winter, you don't want to have water leaks or anything else going on.
Absolutely. This is, I always tell clients, it's nice outside. Start walking around, you know, walk your foundation, check your gutters. Take a look at things because when that cold weather hits and we don't want to be outside repairing those things, either ourselves or having to call a company to fix something because we didn't maintain the gutters or we didn't check for shingles that were missing from spring or summer storms.
No, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's a great space to go outside, check your garden, your plants, and see how they're doing, if they need to be trimmed back for the winter weather. So it's perfect time.
Well, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. I was going to bring up the gutters because, hey, I'm going to say it. We're going to have snow sometime, you know, and obviously fall rain as well. But we want to make sure those gutters are nice and clean. Not only that, the downspouts, mine go underground. So for me, I always have to make sure that, hey, it's still draining and it's still going underground.
Yep. I have buried downspouts as well that go out to kind of the curb or the sidewalk. And when we get a good heavy downpour, I like to look out and say, hey, are those
still working?
Is water coming out of the pop-up that's in the yard? And if it's not, then I know there's a clog somewhere and I need to get it addressed.
And that's the time to do it, obviously, not during the winter, as you said, when it's cold outside, you do it yourself or I have to call somebody to come do it. But folks really don't understand about gutters on their house, the essential that they, you know, that they do for your house. I mean, that it is something very critical. Most people think, you know, it's just going to divert the water. But, I mean, you have to get that water way away from your house.
Yeah. We always recommend that your gutters and downspouts that they, you know, what we call daylight, or they, you know, expel the water at least 10 feet from your home. And that's just ensuring that the ground's going to handle it properly and it's not going to get in your basement. It's the outside of your house is so important because it protects what's on the inside. So gutters, roofing, the siding, all those, you know, that outside envelope.
Well, at Casa Damon, I mean, that's one of the big things that we had when we first moved in. The gutters didn't work very well. The sump pump and stuff didn't work very well. Had to have a basement system put in so we could get rid of the water that was accumulating in the basement. But since then, I've been pretty much a stickler on getting the gutters clean and making sure that they are way away from the house. Don't want any issue with that.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the sump pump, for example. This is a great time to, if you have one, to go in your basement, and yours may never work, or you might not get water in your basement at all. It's a great time to throw a garden hose in that pit, for example, or fill up a 5-gallon bucket, dump it in there, or, for example, lift the float that's on the pump. Make sure that guy works. You know, we recommend every about 5 years, go ahead and replace it. Even if it's never been used, they're so inexpensive to do. It just is that extra level of insurance to make sure that we don't get water in that basement.
Well, here in the St. Louis area, I mean, obviously a lot of folks have water in their basements all over. So it is something that you definitely need to check. Make sure that the electricity is getting to it. As you said, check the float, make sure it works. I actually do this twice a year just because I've had one go bad.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get outside the pump pit. I caught it beforehand, but you know, had to run down to the local box store and get one and throw it in real quick just because I didn't want water getting all over inside my basement from the sump pump.
Yeah, I think if you've had to replace a sump pump in the middle of a rainstorm because the current one quit, you will always look at how important it is to check it and make sure that it's working properly.
Let's just kind of add on top of that. What about having a battery backup system for your sump pump? I had to... I live in the St. Charles area. Most of our power lines are underground. We don't really have a lot of power outages, but we had a power outage one time that lasted most of the evening, pouring down rain. And being the mechanic I am, I went and got my inverter, hooked it up to my car, ran an extension cord from my car all the way down to the basement and get the sump pump running because it was filling up.
Yeah, that's a great point to bring up. A secondary pump is usually in the pit that is running off of, you know, a battery backup. And it's essentially plugged into a trickle charger, if you will, to keep that battery fully charged. But you'll get a couple hours out of that battery, usually just making sure that water's still getting out of that pit if it's raining hard.
And you have to do that, or otherwise it just could really ruin your basement.
Yeah, and especially nowadays, we have so many clients that are finishing their basement, and that's a big investment to build these spaces and bedrooms and bars and all these fun things we can do. So let's, you know, make sure it doesn't get wet or flooded.
Now, what about also a water alarm in the sump pump area as well that, you know, hey, you know, we got water down here. We need to get going.
These are fantastic things. I have actually two of those in my own home. And they're really inexpensive to buy. It's very DIY. You can buy them on, you know, Amazon or online. And they're connected to Wi-Fi. So no matter where I am in the world,
nice.
I can get a text that says, hey, one's located at my floor drain, in case the floor drain decides to back up water, and one is at my sump pump pit. In case that the pump quits or something and water starts to come up, I'll get a text and alert and can head home, call a neighbor, call a friend. Hey, can you go check on my basement? And something's going on down there.
Now, I want to talk a little about the battery, and this is something, most of it is like an exaggerated car battery or deep cycle battery, like a marine battery that they do. They do go bad.
Yes.
And usually about 3 years here in the St. Louis area is about as good as you can get for a battery, whether it's in your car or in your house. And that's something you're going to have to check as well.
Yeah, they have battery testers that you can go down there, test your battery. And we have more and more individuals are upgrading that traditional car battery to a lithium. It lasts even longer, and you get a lot more hours out of that backup pump on a lithium battery.
Jake Spurgeon, Greg Damon, we're here today on the Home Improvement Show, but we're going to take a quick break. We invite you to call us, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We'll be back after these. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Home Improvement Show here on KMOX. Rich Orr is taking a little time off today. Is he out sunbathing today?
I have no idea what he's doing today.
Anyway, Rich Orr is taking a little time off. Greg Damon's sitting in the chair here, but I have some qualified individual from Mosey Building Arts, Jake Spurgeon. He's a senior design consultant answering all your questions. We invite you to join us, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. 1120. And Jake, again, thanks for hanging out today and just really kind of filling in the folks on stuff about your house. Hey, it's the most expensive thing that you own or you're going to own at some point in time. Right. So we want to keep that up and running in good shape.
Yeah, it's one of our biggest assets a lot of us have. And, you know, home is the most important thing that we have sometimes. It's our sanctuary. So we want to maintain it, take care of it, make sure it's in good health.
So we were kind of talking about sump pumps before we went to break, and we've got a phone caller, Dan. Let's go. Hey, Dan, guess what? You got the pole position today here on the Home Improvement Show.
Giddy up. Hey, I have a ironic. I have a sump pump issue going on as we speak. Last spring, the sump pump, it was a submergible. Just the float just didn't kick on, and the water came through the cracks in the basement floor. So the pump never overflowed because I guess the hydrostatic pressure just pushed it up through the cracks, ruined the carpet, had to pull all the carpet out of the basement. Insurance didn't pay for it because of where the water came from, didn't overflow. So fast forward, pump's dry, the well's dry, pump's out. I'm looking to replace it and looking for suggestions and have been looking for brands, looking for, you know, dual pumps with the battery backup, alarms, any suggestions on brands or just looking for some insight.
Yeah, typically I'm a big researcher. I like to go online and, you know, you can go to your home store, Ace Hardware, Home Depot, whatever, and you just research, read some reviews on what homeowners have said about the products. The number one backup one that I recommend is a brand called Watchdog, and they have an alarm system. They are Wi-Fi capable as well, so it'll send you an alert if it's activated. Like if you're out of the house and you say, hey, I got an alert that my battery backup kicked in. I kind of might want to head home and check on that pump. But yeah, Watchdog is the brand that I would recommend for that battery backup system.
Okay. I have read about that one as well. And Zeller, Zoeller, I saw a lot of positive reviews on that one as well. So
yeah, that's a great brand pump for the primary.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Wonderful. Thanks, Dan. Well, appreciate the phone call. Thanks. Again, folks, you want to join us, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We got some more phone callers on hold. But as we were in break, I just want to stay with the sump pump real quick. As we were in break, you were telling us about a new kind of sump pump or a different style of sump pump, I should say.
It's not a very well-known type of, you know, water removal system, but it's a water pump, and essentially it uses your water supply that's coming in from the city, and it's using that pressure, what they call street pressure, to expel the water from your pit in your basement. And it's not used as a primary. It's typically used as a backup system. But it's basically using this pressure to push water out into your yard, for example. The only problem is it uses 3 gallons of water coming in from the city to expel 1 gallon of water out of the pit. So it's you're paying for it on your water bill.
Well, I was going to say, it's got to be routed through your meter, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so you're paying for it, but it doesn't require batteries. Nothing like that. It'll always be there and always work.
And basically it'll never wear out. Is that correct?
Correct. So as long as you have water coming into your house, you have a backup system to get water out.
Now you have to run a supply line to the main, to the water main as well.
Yep.
Run through your meter.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously do you have to tear up part of the basement or the concrete to...
Not necessarily. It comes right on where your main shutoff comes in.
Okay.
And it's usually hooked up right before your pressure reducing valve, because the pressure coming in from the city is pretty high. Your reducing valve makes that lower, so it's good for your faucets and shower heads in your house. Similar to like what a sprinkler system would connect at.
Okay.
So right before it comes into the house.
See, I like, we don't have one of those on our house in St. Charles because I like that high pressure. Makes my hair look really good.
Yep.
You know what I mean? No, I'm just kidding. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Peggy. Hey, Peggy, guess what? You're up next here on the Home Improvement Show.
Well, thanks for taking my question. What I want to know is we have our driveway starting to sink in different slabs. So I know they always had the slurry for the mud jacking. I know they've been talking about this poly foam. How do you compare the two? Do you know much about it?
I don't know a ton about the polyfoam versus the slurry. And mud jacking, I've always, you know, thought of it as a not really a permanent solution. It is a temporary thing that you can do, but, you know, the earth can move and, you know, things can still sink again in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if you're trying to get a couple more years, maybe 5 to 7 years out of that driveway and just want to level it out, that's a great method.
But yeah, we've had it done before, and so this was just something I've heard advertised, and I thought, is it any better? You know, they always say it's a super thing, but
yeah, it doesn't wash away, so that's the good part about it.
Right.
So I will tell you, I just had this done to my sidewalk out in where I live. Turns out, usually, the research I've done and by talking to everybody, usually when you have some sort of concrete that's sinking, there's a void somewhere else that usually that's going to. And actually, underneath our front porch was a big void, and they had to backfill into our front porch. And then they went ahead and did the mud jacking and stuff. And we were debating on whether doing the foam or the regular slurry. We opted to go with the slurry. We thought it was a little bit more economical if we would have to do it. That's just my opinion. I don't know any fact, just so you know that.
Okay. Yeah, that's in the past, like I said, we've always had, if we needed any raising of a slab, we did the mud jacking also in that. So I guess I just know that when people have used that insulation for stuff, it's like, well, how do you get to things if you need something else, since that foam is so, like, rock hard that I've seen people use for insulation? So, you know, I don't know. It just didn't seem like, it seemed kind of strange to do that. But
I mean, as Jake said, you know, it wouldn't wash away much like the slurry, you know, and water gets underneath it, and that's obviously one of the big issues, water getting underneath the concrete. Obviously, yeah. The foam won't necessarily wash away, but I think if that would happen, they'd probably just drill through the foam and go underneath that.
And get more.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, how is the mud jacking washing away? If it's a solid piece, really, it turns into like a concrete farm, doesn't it?
I don't necessarily think it turns into, you know, as hard as what concrete is.
Oh, I thought it did.
But again, yeah. It still has to do with water intrusion. Somewhere, somewhere water is getting underneath of it to take it away, to make it sink or make a void underneath that. Mm-hmm. To where the ground is starting to sink.
Right. Yeah, I figure there's some kind of thing happening for the soil getting, you know, washed away and that. All righty. Well, I thank you for your opinions. It's still kind of hard to decide which way to go, but at least to get some more background about it.
That is for sure.
Have a nice day. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Peggy. Bye. Appreciate the phone call. And, folks, again, if you want to join us, we'd love to talk to you. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Those are the phone numbers to get on. And you know, Jake, as we kind of talked about walking around your house, that's something else that, hey, look at your concrete. Look at your necessarily the foundation. If you're getting cracks in your foundation. I remember I was doing the show a long time ago with Scott, and he was talking about we had a really dry summer that where the grass or the yard has actually pulled away from the foundation.
Yeah.
And maybe this is something you need to get a landscaper involved with.
Yeah, it's if we're having the mud jack or repair sidewalks, patios, driveways multiple times, that's usually either the original slab was poured without a proper base or it's a water management issue. We're not diverting the water to the storm drain like we should. So you might want to look at grading, calling a landscaper and making sure things are graded properly and water is flowing away from the house and not sitting and collecting and creating that void.
Yeah, at Casa Damon, we have we live at the bottom of a hill, and so water runs. I mean, it's like two rivers on both sides of my house when it rains. But we've done stuff to push it away from the house, and so far it's been okay ever since we've had that basement system put in.
Yeah, water management is really something to consider for the outside of your house. There's a lot of things that you can do that even are hardscaping, landscaping that look really nice, but it also serves a purpose. So it's visual and functional.
Nope, absolutely, and I believe you can probably do anything to your yard. You have to keep that water management, keep water out of your yard as well.
Yep.
And I think that's I think that goes with the permit or whatever, if you have to do that.
Yeah, sometimes there's certain projects that you do in certain municipalities that do require permitting with the city to work on the outside of your house and change landscape and change the topography of your lot. And some cities don't require it; they just make sure it looks good.
So check with your county building inspector or somewhere with yeah, that.
The plan reviewer, they'll give
you
an answer.
There you go. That's the one. That's what I'm looking for. Hey, let's go to Mike. Talk to Mike. Mike, you're up next on the Home Improvement Show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. What kind of solution, if there is one, will help me take the oxidation off of my vinyl siding?
I'm going to ask a clarifying question here. When you say oxidation, is it flaking or is it just like dirt, mold, or what exactly is it?
When I take my fingers off of it, it's just kind of a powdery kind of, substance on my fingers.
Yeah, typically that's found. The sun breaks down the plastic, if you will, or the vinyl in the siding, and that's just it's a lot of times that happens when the siding's kind of starting to get towards its end of life, and it actually might be time to think about replacement. If you take off too much color, clean it off, it's going to look really faded and look a lot worse than it looks now.
Yeah, it's only on the one side of my home that gets direct sun. All the rest of the siding is in good shape.
Yeah, you can try, a good outdoor cleaner that's safe for plants is Simple Green. We've all kind of heard of it. It's great for decks and sidewalks. That might be a product to try, a small test area that's not conspicuous. See if it gets off what you want it to get off. And if it works well, then try it on that whole facade that is oxidizing.
Simply Green, huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Simple Green.
I had read where maybe a white vinegar mixture, half and half with water, would be something that you could use also. Any thoughts to that?
Yeah, that's probably something you can try as well. Research online, try some small areas that aren't conspicuous, and see which one kind of promotes the best end result, and then continue with that.
Does that work?
I appreciate it. Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. And again, folks, it's just that easy. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We're due a break here on the Home Improvement Show. Jake Spurgeon in from Mosey Building Arts. Greg Damon hosting the show today, and we'll be back after these. Welcome back, my friends. It is the Home Improvement Show here on KMOX. Jake Spurgeon in from Mosey Building Arts. He's a senior design consultant. Hanging out today, answering all your questions. We invite you to join us, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. And Jake, again, thanks for hanging out today. Let's go back to the phones. How about we talk to John in Kirkwood? Hey, John, guess what? You're up next on the Home Improvement Show.
Yes, this John?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have two quick questions. One is I want to seal my driveway and my sidewalk and look at my house. We can start to see the pebbles coming through now. And my big question is, I also need to caulk the lines in between. What's the proper order of doing that? Power washing, seal, and then caulk? Or power wash, caulk, and then seal? Pretty simple.
I would recommend definitely the cleaning first, do the cracks second, and then seal the driveway. So sealing is your last step.
Okay. And you seal straight over the caulking?
Yep.
That's okay to put that over there?
Yep.
Okay.
It won't necessarily penetrate in there, but it will at least, it's kind of six dozen, 12 of the other.
Okay.
Half dozen. Six, half dozen the other.
A baker's dozen. Got it.
Yep.
That's right. I assume that you want to make sure that after you clean it, that it dries thoroughly, though, before you do any of that.
Yeah, you want to make sure that driveway has had some sun exposure, the moisture's gotten out of it, and it is ready to seal. Because if there's any moisture in any spots, that sealer will not absorb and will not adhere to that area, and it's not going to work.
Yeah, I think we made that mistake a couple years ago in some sidewalk we did, actually. So, yeah. Then the other question is, you were just talking about Simple Green and siding, but what about a handrail that, the top half of it is pretty much faded out from the sun and all. Is there any way of rejuvenating that to shine it up?
Yeah, you can try the same product. That Simple Green is a great kind of organic outside cleaner, and it's a degreaser that you can clean up some spaces with and see if it works. And it might rejuvenate it.
And let me go back to the concrete again. I have sprayed sealer before in concrete, and we're trying to think if rolling it would be a better application.
I have always rolled the sealer on driveways before.
And
you get a little more control with it. You get a little more control, a little bit more even coverage with it that way.
And it kind of helps penetrate that concrete as well, because you're putting pressure on it as you're rolling it. So.
Yep. Thank you very much.
All right, John. Thanks for the phone call. You know, I want to bring up that Simple Green. I've actually used that on spots on the driveway and stuff, and it works pretty well, you know, when you have some little stainage on your driveway.
Yeah, I've got oil spills or some, you know, sometimes individuals have a new driveway and they didn't get a chance to seal it before fall came and some leaves might have stained it. That Simple Green will get that leaf print out and then allow you to seal it.
All right, well, let's jump into, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about at the beginning of the show about, you know, getting ready to entertain, stuff like that. Definitely now is the time you want to start thinking about that, making some plans, at least having some people talk to you. I have to ask you, though, Jake, you know, my TV gets two channels. It gets the Cooking Show Network and the Home Improvement Network. That's the only thing we're allowed to watch at my
house. That's two channels.
You know. And I just think it's amazing that these folks can come in and redo a house in a half hour to start off with. You know, it's done in a half hour, so that's all it should take, right?
Yeah, that's the magic of reality television.
That's right. Well, no, the big thing was we talked about gathering spaces, or you talked about gathering spaces, and the kitchen obviously is a big gathering space, especially around the holidays. You have family and stuff like that. It seems to me on these home improvement shows that a lot of folks are going with a huge island in the middle of their kitchen. Is that really a big thing?
It is. Our kitchens are not just a functional space. It's an entertaining space. Everybody is gravitating towards, what is the chef doing in the kitchen?
Well, it's the food's there.
They want to participate. That's where the snacks are. And they want to come in. They want to sit down. They want to chat. Kitchens are not just for cooking a meal. It's for gathering, you know, chatting, talking, and entertaining. But yes, we are more and more removing like the breakfast table.
Sure.
And installing a very large island that you can sit at and have, you know, meals at. And it's also forcing us, if you want to have a sit-down meal, to utilize that formal dining space that maybe got used once or twice a year.
You mean my wife's office now?
Yeah. It forces us to use that space for, if we are going to sit down together as a family or with our friends, we're going to sit down at that table. So the room's getting more use, and I love that fact for our dining rooms.
I think it's the best conversations around the kitchen when everybody's, you know, you're cooking or you're just eating or drinking or just, you know, just being together. I think that's it's the best conversations, I think.
Yeah. Of odd little statistic or kind of something that I've noticed is that I've had more and more clients I'm meeting with that are, they don't have a dining room table. They just have a breakfast table, but they're asking me to get rid of that table. So the home doesn't have a dining area anymore. They use the island as their dining area. So we're starting to get a little creative about, well, how do we arrange seating around this large island so it still feels table-like? And I love the fact you bring up, it's one of the best places to have the best conversation. With the teenagers in my house, it's one of the only spaces I get to sometimes see them.
Where they talk to you.
Yeah, where they talk to me and say, hey, how was your day? What's going on in sports, or how was school and fun stuff?
No, absolutely. I just think it's the best conversations because, you know, let's face it, everybody loves food. Everybody loves to sit around, talk about food, eat food. You know, it's the way to go. You look at anything you do at home, usually food's involved at some point in time, and it's just all nice to be together where you can see everybody, you can talk to everybody, especially as we talked about family gatherings. You know, you maybe have people you haven't seen for a while. It's just great to hang out and just eat and talk and have a good time.
Yeah, and we at Mosby, we love to create the space for our homeowners to have that, to, you know, sit down with clients and say, how can we make this space better? Not just functional if things are falling apart, but let's enhance it to where you're really going to enjoy it as you use it.
Well, you kind of brought up a great point, you know, about the formal dining room. You know, that was one of the criteria that my wife wanted when we bought our house. She wanted to have a formal dining room. I mean, we've used it maybe a handful of times. As I said, now it's her home office that she uses. But are you seeing a trend where you talked about not having a dining space? Are you seeing a trend where people are going away from that formal dining room, from away for that, and back to this large island that we talked about?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, houses are becoming less traditional, as I would say. You were used to maybe mid-century or in the 70s and 80s and 90s, for example, is you had to have this formal sitting room and this formal dining room that never got used, maybe a handful of times a year.
Right.
But I'm of the mentality that if you pay to heat it and cool it and you're paying for it on the mortgage and let's use the space. Let's give it a purpose so it has a life. So, you know, dining rooms are turning into home offices, like you mentioned. At my house, we got rid of the dining room, and it's the kids' kind of den. We put a big sectional in there, and it's their hangout space.
Right.
We watch movies. They play Xbox or games. It's the room has a purpose. Because I have a breakfast area in the kitchen that's huge that fits the dining room table. So I can have 8 to 10 people at dinner if I wanted to, and there's still room for everyone.
Yeah, my dad is a big thing in his house and stuff. You know, he just wanted to always paint the walls white. He wanted this, you know, not much stuff in there because of the resale value. And I'm like, look, why don't you, you know, you live here. Why don't you make the house functional for yourself? So you're seeing more of a trend that way?
Yes, we want spaces to be personalized. I always kind of think and joke in my head that when individuals keep wanting to make design decisions based on resale value, I said, why have such a temporary relationship with this space? You know, let the next homeowners paint. This is a space that the four walls you have to stare at the most are at home.
Right.
Why not make it something you love? Why are you planning it for the next person? Plan it for you.
I agree wholeheartedly with that. I agree wholeheartedly. Folks, we got some folks on hold, but unfortunately we got to take a break real quick. So, Frank, you hang on. We're going to get to you right after the break. This is the Home Improvement Show on KMOX. We'll be right back. That's right, my friends. Into the final lap of the first hour of the Home Improvement Show here on KMOX. Greg Damon sitting in the big chair. I have Jake Spurgeon from Mosby Building Arts. He's a senior design consultant answering your questions. Again, you want to join us, we'd love to have you. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We got Frank on hold, and I promised him we'd go right to him. Frank, you're up next on the Home Improvement Show.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, as we speak, my wife is out trying to scrape a little over paint from some wood shutters we took down, and we put vinyl up, and apparently they were painted once, and we've done everything to try to remove this paint from the brick. Now, I know how porous brick is. And I said, honey, the only thing I know is uric acid. We've bought, you know, different products from Home Depot. It's not touching it. So yeah. Is there something that will take that paint off?
Yeah, you can, you know, a stiff brush, some water and baking soda, like a wire brush is one method. Another surprising one is WD-40.
Great.
You can spray WD-40 on it, let it sit for a few hours, and then come back with that baking soda wire brush and get it off.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
It also take tar off your car, just so you know.
It will. WD-40 does a ton.
So yeah, that work for you, Frank?
It certainly does.
All right.
Okay. And thanks so much.
You bet. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thanks so much always for the phone call.
Always listening. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. So anyway, we were talking about gathering spaces and stuff, and we're talking about the big islands, things like that. We talked about the formal sitting rooms. You did forget to mention about the plastic on the sofa.
Yeah, you know, that plastic's got to stay there. That furniture needs to look pristine like the day it came off the showroom.
That's right. Exactly. At the beginning of the show, I was talking about new appliances, stuff like that. It seems like every day there's some sort of new appliance that's out there on the market that's the latest, the greatest, the coolest, the Wi-Fi-iest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and as I said, I'd still be happy with that marigold gold or almond color.
Harvest gold.
That harvest gold, that's it.
Harvest gold, avocado green.
And the
the brown.
The yellow. The brown. I forget what was the yellow?
The yellow is the harvest gold.
Yeah, so... you know, that's what I'd be okay with, but man, it just it's not that way.
Those were workhorse appliances.
Still working today.
Yeah.
Still working today. But what do you see coming out, like, in the future of that? I mean, we've got smart refrigerators. We've got, you know, smart ovens and everything else.
Yeah, there are so many bells and whistles and appliances nowadays that it blows my mind, you know, that... I think what's really neat is these wall ovens or ranges or for baking, that the recipes are built into the touchscreen on the oven. So you just tell it, here's what I'm baking. Like, let's say you're cooking a roast. You tell it, I'm cooking this roast that's this many pounds, and the oven knows what temperature, how long to cook it. You can, you know, put a probe in there that it connects to the oven, and it knows it'll text you or send you an email, hey, it's time to flip the meat or take the meat out and let it rest for 10 minutes or before you cut into it. It tells you what to do. So we all get to be professional chefs at home.
Martha Stewart.
Due to appliances.
That's kind of crazy. I mean, I think it's really great. You know, you see these wired homes, or I shouldn't say wireless homes, where everything's connected, and it just seems like they're adding more and more and more. That's pretty, you know, that's space age technology to me.
Yeah. Some of the funniest things or that happened to me personally at my house is about a year or two ago, we got new laundry units from GE, and they're connected. So it sends me an alert and says, right, hey, the clothes are done. It's time to move to the dryer. Or, hey, the dryer is going to be done in 5 minutes. Get it out so it doesn't wrinkle. It is connected to my Alexa, which is then connected to Amazon. It automatically, because you pour the entire bottle of soap in the machine, so it knows how much to put in there based on what type of clothes you have in there. It automatically ordered a new bottle of laundry detergent.
Oh, my gosh.
And it showed up at my door the next day, and I didn't know what happened.
All right. That's kind of freaky right there. I'll tell you that. That's
but convenient.
Well, definitely convenient. It's really nice that you don't have to go to a store anymore.
Yeah.
You know, what does that do for us? Now we don't have to have math even cooking anymore, and now, you know, you don't have to go anywhere. It just shows up at your house to resupply you. Well, we got just under a minute here for this hour of the show, but don't worry, we got a whole other hour coming up after the news. Jake Spurgeon in from Mosby Building Arts. Greg Damon sitting in the big chair. We got all sorts of stuff to cover. You want to join us? We'd love to talk to you. Jim, hang on. We'll get to you next hour. Here's the phone numbers, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. This is the Home Improvement Show on KMOX. We love talking to you. Give us a call, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We'll see you after the break.